Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Allen Ford Baptist Church, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, May the 23rd, and today happens to be the birthday of Sister Ruth Back, and I hope and pray that she's had a good day today. Hope that she enjoys this special day, and God blesses her in a special way on her birthday today. Amen. And we are glad to be back with you here on WSOF and WAJJ Radio. We're glad you're tuned in and listening, and appreciate those that do so faithfully and that remember to pray for us and pray for the broadcast that God would use it. We had a good day yesterday here in the house of God. Had a good day both services. I felt like had liberty to preach both services. But last night was just a little extra special. I was preaching on Calvary, and I'm going to tell you cannot do any better than exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, making another trip and looking again at Calvary. When we remember Calvary, it ought to stir our soul. My, it did last night, and I'm grateful for it. And that's along the lines of what I'm going to be preaching today. Said I'm starting a new series today on the radio broadcast, and we're going to be starting out talking about the mystery of godliness. I preached some sermons here at the Allen Ford Baptist Church on Wednesday nights, and I preached, I think, about 7 sermons, I believe, from this text, and dealt with the mystery of godliness that's found there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 in particular. There's 7 phrases there, and we preached on each of them and tried to bring out the goodness of God in these 7 phrases of the mystery of godliness. We'll be talking more about that as we go on in the broadcast, and this will be for a few days now, probably a few weeks that we'll be looking at these things, and that I trust will be a blessing to your heart. Well, we're going to get ready for prayer time. Sister Hall has had another round of the AFib. She went back in AFib on Friday night, and she's out of it. I really don't know how long she stayed in it, but I know that yesterday she was here both services, but she was obviously still weak in the morning service and was some better in the evening service. And so we're grateful for that, but I'd like for you to keep her in your prayers, that the Lord might continue to strengthen her and help her to stay out of that AFib situation. And then I did get news from our friend, Brother Kevin Franklin, there in Kansas, and it's not really good news. Apparently they seemingly have done all that they can do, and they're stumped as to what to do next to try to help him. And really, when they admit that it's out of their hands, usually they will admit then that it's in the Lord's hands. And I'm going to tell you, friend, it's always been in the Lord's hands. And any healing that is done by the divine healer, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Only God can heal. And I believe that. And I'm grateful that he is a healer. But I want you to keep Brother Franklin in your prayers, that the Lord might intervene and help him there in a supernatural, special way, especially one in which that the Lord Jesus Christ would get the glory and the honor. Amen. And so remember Brother Franklin in your prayers. Remember Mrs. Hall in your prayers. And then also remember my wife's dad. I mentioned that he was going to have a procedure on Wednesday, and we didn't know it, but he was going to have one today as well, which was a preliminary procedure. They did that today, came through well, got the report on that he did come through well. And then they're going to do something else on Wednesday. So I'd like for you to keep him in your prayers. My wife decided not to go. She talked with her mother, and they persuaded her that they didn't think that it was a need for her to come in for these procedures. But keep my wife in your prayers, and especially her dad, Mac Johnson, that the Lord would touch him and help him. And then I do have some unspoken requests. I know of a number of young people. I'm thinking right now of 3 young ladies, really 4. I can think of 4 young ladies that I could call their name that I know they're not associated here with the Allen Ford Baptist Church, but I know them personally, and some of them are in different states. I'll just say it that way. They're in different places, but I know of at least 4 young ladies that 2 of them have already taken some pretty major steps in wrecking their life, and the other 2 are mighty close to doing the same thing. I'm thinking about a young man and a young lady together that's apart from these 4 young ladies that have made some decisions that are against their parents' wishes, that are against godly advice, and yet they've decided that's the road they're going to go down. And I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm just going to lay these things out to you. When you choose to go against godly advice and you choose to go down your road just because you like that road better, then you better be ready to accept the curves and the hills and the valleys that are down that road because you've made your choice. But I want to pray for mercy. I want to pray for grace. I imagine that when the prodigal son left home, Dad stood there with a broken heart, probably tears in his eyes. And yet I don't believe that Dad said, Lord, bring the judgment upon him. I believe that Dad probably said, Lord, be merciful upon him. Though judgment's going to come, though troubles and trials are going to come because of decisions that he's made, I'm sure the dad prayed for mercy, that in wrath God would remember mercy. And he did, and the young man came to himself. Now, they don't all do that. I recognize that. Some that do momentarily come to themselves, yet they don't have enough in them to actually get up and dust off the dirt from their filth and hit back on the trail, head back towards home. They don't all do that. But thank God for those that do. And I'm praying for these young people, these six that I just mentioned, a young man and lady, and then four young ladies that are making some major decisions that are wrong decisions, headed down the wrong road. And I want to pray for their families. I want to pray for the mothers and dads and the grandparents and their broken hearts and the other young people that are watching them and hurting for them. I want to pray that God would give them enlightenment, that they would see what they're doing. And they would see that the good way is walking with the Lord. You talked about standing in the way and ask for the old paths. He said, wherein is the good way? And that is the good way, friend. The devil's lying to you when he paints a rosy picture of his way. His way is full of thorns and thistles and briars and problems. And you may feel like you're having a big day today, but there'll come a day when you'll drink the dregs of that cup. There'll come a day when the judgment will fall. Now, in the life of the Christian, today might be thorns and thistles and troubles and trials, but there will come a day, hallelujah, when it will be worth it all. And you'll look back and say that the joy and the glory that we find on that special day, that all these troubles and trials today cannot even be compared with that glory that waits on us there in glory land. Amen. So I want to pray for these. I didn't mean to get off in that sermon, but that's a burden on my heart. I really do have a desire to see some young people turn to the Lord. And so I'd like for you to help us pray towards that end. So I'm praying for these unspoken. I'm not going to call these young people's names, but that God would work in their life. And then the other needs that I know about. Sister Sharon Dockery, still not feeling well. We want to pray for her, that the Lord touch her and strengthen her. Brother Woodard was not able to be with us last night or yesterday, not feeling well. We want to pray that God would touch and help him. Mrs. Ferguson was not able to be with us yesterday, so we want to pray for them. I'm glad Janice was able to be back here yesterday, and I missed her for a couple of Sundays, but she was here, and we're grateful for that. We want to pray for her, and then the different needs of the Bale family still down in Texas. And Brother Bell, of course, is here, but his wife and children that are at home, they're all in Texas right now visiting with Andrew and the grandchildren. I want to pray that the Lord would help and just meet the different needs that might be there in those things. So remember those in prayer as well, if you will. All right, let's call on the Lord together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day you've given us today. And I'm amazed that you would consider giving us these blessings like we have. We enjoyed a good day today, and it means a lot to us, although this time frame is so short compared to eternity. You could have made every day gray and eternity great, but yet you chose to give us not only a great eternity for those that are saved, but good days on this side. What a good God you are, and I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good day we had yesterday in the house of God. Not only a beautiful day outside, but a wonderful day in the house of God as we enjoyed fellowship with the saints, enjoyed being able to see, as I said, Miss Janice back with us, visiting yesterday. That was a blessing. And then allowing the choir to sing last night. We had a good time doing that. And then the good, sweet Spirit of God in the Sunday school and the preaching hour. And then again last night being just a little extra special to me. And I want to thank you for it, because I know that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And I believe you was here last night, and I want to thank you for that. Father, I pray that you'd use the message that we preached last night and that we'll preach today, that you'll use it to draw some sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, open the eyes of some young person as I talk about these six young people that's on my heart heavy. Lord, I pray that you would help in these needs. But Lord, I pray that you'd help others as well that I don't know, people that I may never see, that may hear this broadcast. Lord, I pray that you'd deal with their heart, bring them to Christ before it's eternally too late. Maybe there's somebody out there that is not a young person. They're an older person, and they've wasted their life in sin. And they feel as if that it's no use now. Father, I pray, help them turn to Jesus and recognize that you not only can give us an eternity of life, but you can give us life more abundant right here and now. And Lord, you'd bless them and use them as they live to glorify thee. Father, I pray, help the saints of God. Strengthen, Lord. Help us to glorify you. Help us, dear God, to love you as we ought to. And Lord, you get the glory and the honor. I pray for Andrew and his wife and those children. I pray for Miss Lisa Bell and Philip and Anna and Jesse as they're there visiting in Texas. I pray for Brother Bell as he's working here trying to get things ready for his dad. Lord, I pray that you'd help and meet the need there. I pray for Mrs. Hall that you'd touch her body, strengthen and help her, Lord, according to thy will. And then, Father, I pray that you would help my wife's dad, Mac Johnson. Thank you for helping him already today. And I pray that you'll help him again on Wednesday as he has another procedure. Meet the need. Lord, I do pray touch Brother Franklin, Mrs. Franklin, the children, grandchildren, the church involved there, Lord, in Great Bend, Kansas. Would you help them and use them, Lord, to give a great healing and a great victory and that Jesus get the glory and the honor, Father, we pray. Again, Lord, I pray use this broadcast and get the glory. We do ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. We're going to be looking, as I said, in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm going to be reading verses 14 through 16 today. That's where we're going to take our text, verse 14 through 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. While you find your place, we'll listen to this good song, and then we'll be right back with a message from the Word of God. All right, I trust that song was a blessing to you, and I trust you are holding to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Well, as I said, we're looking in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, beginning a new series today, a series that I've called The Mystery of Godliness, and we're looking at the first part today. The Bible says, verse number 14 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Amen. Now, I've chosen this text today for my message because it has content that is alluding to the Son of God who came robed in flesh. Amen. Now, I thought it'd be good to study on this a while, thinking about the incarnation of the Son of God. Let me begin, if I can, by laying out the context of our passage. In the context, we see that the aged Apostle Paul is instructing the young Pastor Timothy in an effort that he might show him the proper way to pastor and to preach. Now, there were two things of utmost importance to the Apostle Paul in all of his writings. He constantly contended for, number one, the church, and number two, the truth. These two things are also of preeminent importance to our God as well. God is deeply concerned about the preservation, propagation, and proclamation of the church and the truth. Therefore, when Brother Paul considered that it might be some time before he could personally be there to train young Brother Timothy, he instructed him how he was to behave himself, or we'd say to conduct himself, in the house of God, which I believe means he was given instruction under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost how that Timothy was to pastor the people which God had given him, and what he was to preach to them, which is the mystery of godliness. In other words, Paul was saying to Timothy, Timothy, you need to be careful how you pastor, and you need to be careful how you preach. Amen. What you preach had better be the mystery of godliness. That is the message that God had given him. Now, Brother Paul first laid out the dignity of the church in verse number 15 that I read. He lays out the dignity of the church. He talks about it being the church of the living God, the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so he exalts the church and elevates the church and shows you the dignity thereof. And then he goes on to lay out the excellence of the mysteries of the gospel there in verse number 16. Therefore, I believe Paul seriously exhorted Brother Timothy to take heed how he handled himself in the house of God, especially in the preaching of the truth of God. Friend, God cares more about his house and his people than he does for all mankind besides. God has established his house to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Since this is true, the truths of God must be carefully taught in his church. This was so important to the Apostle Paul that he used great words, high styles, and lofty expressions concerning the truths in these verses. Oh my, he sure did. No one doubts that the apostle's heart was full of love for the gospel. No one doubts that his full heart led to full expression. Therefore, the apostle Paul sought to have Timothy that he might fill his heart and he might fill his head with these wonderful doctrines of the gospel, and that he might give a full description of these facts and these truths in his sermons. There was no man who had higher or richer thoughts and ability to give expression to the excellency of Christ and the good things that can be attained by him than did the Apostle Paul. Oh, God had greatly gifted the Apostle Paul with the ability to think great thoughts and to express them in a great way. Therefore, Paul had an excellent way of setting forth the elegance of the ministry and the calling of God into that ministry. He dealt with God's truth towards God's people. Oh my, he shows how that these glorious truths can be set forth, these evangelical truths. Here's what he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, in order to study this amazing passage of Scripture, we're going to need to break it down bit by bit and attempt. I'm going to attempt to drain out every drop of the good, wondrous juices of the gospel from this verse if I can. If we were to view this gospel story as a book, then we'd see the text contain seven distinct, wonderful parts. You've got the preface, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Chapter 1 deals with God manifest in the flesh. Chapter 2 deals with him being justified in the Spirit. Chapter 3 deals with him being seen of angels. Chapter 4 deals with him being preached unto the Gentiles. Chapter 5 with him being believed on in the world. And chapter number 6 would conclude with Jesus being received up into glory. Amen. Now, let me just mention these things real quickly. Let me say there is an adorable subject that we're going to look at on this message today. Talking about this very first point, great is the mystery of godliness. I'm calling this the apostle's revelation. The apostle is revealing what God had taught him. He shows us an adorable subject, which is godliness. He shows us an amazing secret, which is the mystery of godliness. And then I want to point out the adjective that is specified about this mystery. He says, great is the mystery of godliness. And then last of all, we'll come to the agreeable statement. He said, it is without controversy that this mystery of godliness is a great mystery. Well, we're going to study this now for the next few days. I'm out of time for today. I'll come back and deal with this again on tomorrow. I appreciate you tuning in. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow at the same time. And we'll be looking again there at 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 14 through 16. Thank you for listening.